The following is a presentation of Project Independence and WCWP. Project Independence is the Aging in Place initiative of the Town of North Hempstead. We provide programs and services designed to assist and support the older town residents who wish to remain in their homes as they age. If we don't currently provide a service, we will try and connect you to that service. Call 311 or 869-6311 to get more information or receive services.
Welcome to Project Independence and you.
Welcome to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. This is Project Independence and You. I'm your host, John Ryan, and my co-host today is Hal Bach.
Good morning, John.
How are you, Hal?
Good.
I see your wife is with you, so we're going to give a shout-out.
She protects me from getting into trouble.
To the boss. And as always, we like to get right into the heart of what we're talking about here on Project Independence and You. And this morning, we're very fortunate to have with us Dr. Chu DeSama.
Hi, how are you?
And Dr. Solis.
Hi, how are you?
And the topic we're going to be talking about is geriatric depression, or depression as we age, very simply put, which, and you'll give me some statistics, is not something that everybody suffers from. I mean, and I'm being very honest here. We have co-hosts that are all seniors on this program. And yet, obviously, some of them can be suffering, but they're not suffering when they're here. This is a jolly time, but it might be a letdown later on in the afternoon. I'd like to start with Dr. Chu DeSama.
Yes.
And say, how did you get involved in this? Not in being a doctor, but focusing your attention in this area, which is so, in my mind, so rewarding.
I think it started in my training and fellowship for geriatrics. I had a patient who I saw was struggling and didn't know how to express his grief, didn't know how to express his loneliness. And because he didn't know how to express it, no one in the medical inpatient field was able to recognize it. And it kind of just went under the rug. Okay. And I think it was just discovering that and realizing how important it is to be sensitive to a mood disorder.
Before we get to Dr. Solis, what do you mean he didn't know how to express it?
He didn't know.
Like just to turn around and say, I'm sad today?
I think it's just that recognition is difficult for the person themselves, as well as the medical provider. And I don't think that he recognized he was in such a negative place in his life. And he expressed it through not socially discussing things with anybody. He kind of buried or isolated himself.
Wow. And Dr. Solis, you're one term, if that's the expression, behind?
Yes. So I'm still in my training.
Right.
I'm working in the geriatric clinic, and it's something that we see very often. Especially in the geriatric population, we have patients who come sometimes. The family is actually the one that recognizes some of the symptoms. They recognize their loved one not being their usual, having lack of interest or not enjoying the things that they previously enjoyed, and they bring them to the office. So when we go into further detail, we actually find out that some of them have an underlying diagnosis of depression. Some of them actually don't manifest the way that they usually, like someone who's younger may manifest. Sometimes they have some memory issues that sometimes they think they could be having some underlying diagnosis of dementia. And then we question him further, you find out that it's actually a depression diagnosis. And I think one of the important things is to have a conversation. I think a lot of people don't realize that it's a disease like any other, like hypertension, diabetes, and it can be treated as long as you talk about it.
But this is the one, and that's, I think, and I'm not by no means a medical person whatsoever, this is the disease that's so difficult, because if I cut my hand, I walk in here, everybody sees the cut on my hand.
Right.
If I'm hiding something, you really don't know it. My wife might turn around and say he's not himself, or my cousin, or, you know, somebody who knows you better.
Right.
But it's tough to get the person then in the next step and say, why don't you go see somebody?
Exactly.
Which is the most important part of this.
Right.
You know, the diagnosis.
Exactly. And I think the conversation is a big part of it. And make just knowing that it's sometimes it's a normal thing that happens. It's like any other disease. And it's not a sign of weakness. It's a disease, and it's an imbalance that can often be treated. So I think starting the conversation is
now. You just said something which I didn't realize. It's a disease.
It is.
I just thought it was, you know, I don't mean it the way that it sounds. Mm-hmm. Just like a personality.
Right. I think one thing that I wanted to really highlight is that depression has a lot of stigma with it.
Mm-hmm.
So it really varies from person to person, family to family, religion to religion, ethnicity to ethnicity. Wow. Everyone has a different perception of what depression means to them, and they hold a different weight of how negative that sounds or is. You know, there have been studies done where, for example, there have been a lot of psychosocial studies done, psychiatric studies done between Asians, European Americans, African Americans, Latinos, Indians, and the way that they all perceive depression is drastically different. And I think one thing that kind of rings with me is that people feel like it's a weakness to admit it, to talk about it. It's something that's more like a challenge in their mind that they just have to overcome. And the worst part is that people think it's a normal part of aging, which it's not.
Well, so I didn't realize the difference, like everybody's different, but I would have gone along with it's a normal part of aging.
Right.
You know, because every day you technically are losing something.
Right.
And it starts like with your hair or whatever it is. But, you know, I mean, as time goes on, you can't keep up with the grandkids. You can't eat everything you wanted to eat. All of a sudden the doctor says don't drink, you know, whiskey, whatever you do. So, you know, at a certain point in time, your life is nothing but downhill.
Yeah, and things add up.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's
the medical
too.
Problems add up, the medications add up, the number of friends that you're losing around you, that adds up.
Retirement, it's a big one, either if it's elective or non-elective.
But I would think there's ways to combat this. I mean, we were talking before you came in about our grandchildren. And nothing makes me happier than being with my grandchildren, and I'm sure John would say the same thing. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there are ways to avoid depression.
Right.
And to correct depression, I would think.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I think the biggest non-medical ways to do that is when I see patients with supportive family structures, grandchildren, people who can kind of give me a little humor when I see them or respond to some affection when I see them, I know that they're supported. These are really the patients or people who don't have that, who are kind of what a mentor of mine, Dr. Maria Carney, calls elder orphans, people who are disconnected from families, disconnected from a job and social structure. Those are really the ones that we are most afraid of going into depression. Grieving that goes beyond a normal time period. And that can turn into major depression.
I would also think that one of the ways to combat it is to recognize it in yourself and do something about it. For example, join an organization, volunteer, get yourself out and into social circles.
Adult day programs, absolutely.
That would compensate.
I don't think, I think in those that recognize it, I feel so relieved. I think my worry is in those people that cannot even recognize that they are in such a negative place, in a depression. Those are the ones that, you know, they don't even understand that maybe their symptoms of having abnormal, out of proportion pain or feeling very tired or not wanting to talk to anyone, not wanting to wear their hearing aids because they don't want to talk to anyone. Those are the people that I worry about because they're already subconsciously withdrawing without recognizing that it's depression that's causing them to withdraw.
Is depression part of the cycle of life?
No.
Really?
That's a short answer.
Yeah, I agree with that.
It's not a normal cycle of life. It's not a normal process.
Well, people have ups and downs.
Right. And I think depression, if you look at the technical guideline thing, it's saying that sadness or grief or that is persistent, that goes beyond a normal period of time that's acceptable. That's what we're talking about. We're not talking about a normal reaction to things. We're just talking about a sustained sadness. that starts decreasing your functionality from day to day.
Well, that's the part that I can see with seniors, and something I deal with the senior center I'm involved with. Depression is one thing, and everybody can be depressed. But it's when it interferes with your daily living that, oh, it's like, why do I want to take a shower? You know, and the next day, mm-hmm. the next day, and like, why do I have to shave? Why do I, you know, like, you start actually giving up completely.
The motivation is gone.
Right.
And you can't explain it. You just know that you don't want to do those things.
Right.
And you're just going to make it to the next day.
And my gut feeling is you're going to start losing your support group.
Because you're isolating yourself.
It's like, screw this, I'm not going to. Every day I go over and I bring you coffee. I'm just making up a story.
Right.
And now you don't even talk to me. It's like, I don't want to sit here and just look at you. You know what? I'll come and give coffee to somebody else who appreciates it. And little by little, the person's not doing it intentionally. Closing down their world. And the smaller their world,
the smaller their support.
Exactly. I mean, the smaller their support. And yep. it's a terrible place, you know. Unfortunately, I haven't been there, but I mean, it's a terrible place when you actually feel you have nothing. You know, I'm sure it's what these people feel. And even if you don't have it in your immediate family, and sometimes I'm a big believer in this, forget the immediate family. Go out and be somebody, be your true self in a support group mm-hmm. versus trying to dance because you don't want your kids or your wife to think, you know, something different of you.
Right.
Go to a support group. Nobody knows who you are. But therefore, you can be your true self, mm-hmm. Or with a therapist or somebody like
without
that.
Without a biased opinion.
Right. That's exactly. Good. See, when you get a professional, they know what to call these things. Put a term on it.
Well, you fill in my gap.
About 2 minutes
of
talk.
So you're actually absolutely right. If you're able to recognize that you're getting sad for a little too long, it's so amazing if you're able to recognize that and you're able to surround yourself and immerse yourself more into a social activity or a day program, or say, hey, you know what, I need to see my son and their kids a little bit more often right now. That's exactly what you need, and a little aerobic exercise. Mm-hmm. It goes a long way before you start hitting this terrible phase.
I'll tell you what goes a long way for me. Mm-hmm. Every day I talk to my kids on the phone. And if my granddaughter is not busy with 10,000 other things, she'll spare a few moments for me. And it makes me euphoric just to talk to my grandchildren. I leave my grandson alone because he's a sophomore in college and he's got other things on his plate. But my little granddaughter is 14 years old. She's a musician and she's got a lot of things on her plate. But sometimes she makes a few minutes for Grandpa, and it is the most wonderful time in the world for me. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not depressed, but I will tell you, it makes me euphoric.
But it adds to the positive in your life.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
You don't have to be depressed. That's a wonderful thing.
I'm depressed when she doesn't talk to me.
Okay, that's a different story.
That's another story.
You know, but are we good or were we? Okay, the clock is not working in this morning. We're going to have to take our first break. You're listening to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. We'll be right back.